Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Welcome to the summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. We praise God for being here live on Blog Talk Radio. Amen. Live on the Spirit Alive Network in Jesus' name. We thank God for this beautiful, beautiful Saturday afternoon, wherever you are listening to me at, beautiful Saturday mornings, beautiful Saturday afternoon. In Jesus' name, you are listening to me right now. I always say this, if you are listening to me right now, you are blessed. But you're not blessed because you're hearing my voice, because it's not of me, but it is of God. Hallelujah. If you are listening to me right now, you are blessed because you are in the land of the living. Amen. And that is a reason to give God praise. This is the show to get your weekend started off right. This is the show where the gospel is told and not sold, y'all. Amen. God bless you, each and every one of you, in Jesus' name. We thank God for being here on today. We have a very, very phenomenal topic today. Amen. I thank God for this topic in Jesus' name. The Lord has been dealing with me again. I don't know why the Lord has been taking me back to things that he's showed me before, but I thank God for it. Amen. There's a reason for it. Amen. God has taken me back to dealing with generation. Amen. Throughout the church, throughout our family. Now, on today, I want to talk about today, the topic today is legacy, generational blessings and curses. Amen. The legacy of generational blessings and generational curses. Amen. I thank God. Again, we want to send a special shout out, a special praise the Lord to our founder, our leader of the Spirit Alive Network, Bishop Shalene Cook. Amen.
God bless
Bishop
you.
Cook, God bless you. Amen. We give you, honor on today. In Jesus' name, the Bible says, give honor to whom honor is due. Amen. In Jesus' name. So we thank you for allowing us to come one more day. In Jesus' name. On today, I want to talk about this because this is very, very vital to us, amen, in the day and age that we are living in. I'm going to ask this question as I get started. Have you ever thought about the things that you go through in life, why they come, why they're there, and why they stay so long? Have you ever thought about maybe you might have an illness in your body, and you're wondering why it transpired this way. Maybe you're wondering, why is it taking the doctor so long to find it, or why is it taking it so long to heal, or why, just why? You have all these whys in your life about this certain thing. Why is it so hard for me to break this addiction? Why is it so hard for me to get over this disease? Why is it so hard for me to get my finances together? Why is it so hard for me to pray? Why is it so hard for me to fast? Why is it so hard for me to do this or that? Why is it so hard for me to go through? Well, I have an answer for you. Some of the things that we deal with in life come from generational blessings Some of the things come from generational curses. These generation, I'm going to deal with the curses first, because some of the things that we deal with in life come from generational curses. And some of these generational curses we do not know about, because it has happened before, maybe before you were born, maybe before you even thought of, back in your family tree. For example, say you have a doctor tells you you have a certain disease. I battle with heart problems. I've battled with heart problems. And down through my family tree, it says that my family has dealt with heart problems. That is a generational curse. And down through the family lineage, somebody needs to deal with the curse. And if it got down to you, nobody has dealt with it or has not known about it. And it is time for us to deal with the curse. It is now time to go to God and deal with the curse and speak the opposite of what we see. To destroy the generational curse and build up generational blessings. The reason why I say that is because your family is on the line. Your children are on the line. Your grandchildren are on the line. How do we know? Because God said that he knows the thoughts that he thinks toward us. But it is up to us to believe God in what he says he's going to do. Amen? And when we get these things in our life, when we get these I'll use health-wise. If we get a diagnosis from the doctor stating that we have this or that, it is in our family lineage that we have this or that. And we go and say, man, I don't know. I got this. I got that. And my mama used to have this, and my daddy used to have this. And we say, well, I guess I got it. Well, that continues the curse. Our own doubt can bring that generational curse onto other generations. Amen. I told myself that this problem that my family deals with as far as heart problems, it stops with me. It stops with me. It stops with me. My family has a thing with diabetes, and I'm just using this as an example. It stops with me. I don't have diabetes. I've never been diagnosed with it, but it stops with my generation. That's what I meant. Now I have family members that are in my generation that has it, but it stops with them. And I spoke over their life that it stops with you. And your children will not have it. Their children will not have it. Their children's children will not have it. Why? Because I'm speaking against the curse, and I'm speaking generational blessing. Just because you have something in front of you that is negative does not mean you have to accept it. That's the thing. We have to make up in our minds that whose report will you believe? That's where generational curses and generational blessings start. It started with somebody thinking, I got it or I don't have it. You can have a generational blessing, and that generational blessing stopped by somebody that believes that they ain't got what God said they had. For real. I'm serious. I'm going to take you to a scripture. In the book of Exodus, chapter number 20, verses 1 through 6, and I'm going to read it to you in your hearing, and I'm going to show you what God says about generation. Amen. In the book of Exodus, chapter number 20, verses 1 through 6. And it reads, And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graving image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities. Now watch this. This is where it is. Visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. I want to stop right there. You see that God is visiting. God has visited the generation of the church. God has visited. And how do we know that God has visited the generations of the church? Well, we look in the book of Revelation. It talks about the seven churches, right? The church of Philadelphia, the church of Laodicea, and so on and so forth. These are the different church ages that we have been in. This is symbolic of the different church ages. He has visited and he has seen the difference of the church. The way the church era is now, he is visiting this church era. And we are living in the Laodicean church era right now. And he is not comfortable in this church era. I'm going to tell you that right now. God is not comfortable. God is not accepting what this church generation is bringing forth. Because it is a church era or generation that says we can do whatever we want to do and still be saved. This is the mindset of this generation of church. And God is not accepting just anything. Why? Because he is a holy and a righteous God. Amen. This is what he's saying. Thou shalt put no other gods before. We have people in the church now that are putting things and people and their careers above God. Oh, well, I don't have to go to church today. I don't have to fast today because I fasted last week. Oh, I don't have to pray today. I prayed yesterday. The devil is a lie. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Amen. I'm just giving some examples. But this is the church era that we live in. This is the church generation that we are living in today. I remember, I don't know if y'all know this person, but she's gone on to be with the Lord, but Evangelist Lockett, big, well-known name preacher. She talks about this. She preached this message in 1997. And she asked, she was in a conference, and she was preaching at this conference, and she said, what are we leaving the next generation? What are we leaving the next generation of churchgoers? We want to, and back then, the preachers that were coming to her, she said that these preachers that were coming to her said that we need to basically conform to the world standards, and we need to give them something to allow them to come on in, and we need to, you know, lower our standards. We don't need to lower the standards of the church for the world to come in. Give the world the same thing that the generations, that the old school mothers and the old school preachers and the old school elders gave us. They gave us the altar. This is what we're talking about, those generational blessings. Because you know what? This church era, and I'm going to say it like I say it, we got punks in the pulpit. I'm sorry. That's another for another day. We got punks in the pulpit. Mm-hmm. We do. And the reason why I say we got punks in the pulpit is because they don't want to preach what God said because they are afraid of losing members. They are afraid of losing their tithes and their offerings, and they are afraid of the people getting mad. Don't worry about that. You preach what God has told you to preach. You worried about a big crowd and you worried about the mega church. I don't care if you got 10, 20 members. You preach. Amen? Because God is going to hold you accountable for the things that you tell God's people. And I don't know who I'm talking to today, but it is our job to preach the word of God, not to take anything away, not to add anything. There are men, we read it before in the book of Jude. There are ungodly men that have crept in unaware, started in the church, generational curses right up in the church. We have generational curses right up in the church. And this was not in my notes. This was not in the notes today. We have generational curses right up in the church that we have not dealt with throughout the church era, throughout the generation of the church era. Some pastors know, and this is what it is. This is the curse. We allow things to go on. We don't speak on sin. I had somebody tell me that we can't tell a person, we can't judge a person if they're sinning. I'm not judging. And we're not supposed to judge. We're not supposed to. God said, God told us not to judge people, and we're not judging, but we are supposed to preach against sin. We are. We're supposed to tell you, if we are preaching, now we're supposed to tell you in love. We are supposed to tell you in love. We are. We are supposed to tell you in love to get away from the sin, to let you know, hey, God is not accepting of that. You might want to back up away from that. Now, if they're coming at you, if you are a preacher and you're coming at a person and you're saying, well, I'm better than you and you need to. No, you can't force a person. You can't force a person just because you're a preacher. You can't force a person to do anything. That's not your job. That's not your job. Now, if you've told the person, the person don't want to listen, that's a different story. It is your job to tell them, and there's a correct way to tell them, and there's a correct way in love to tell them. Amen? If you want friends, you got to show yourself friendly. Amen? With loving kindness have I drawn thee. Amen? That's what the Bible says. So you got to do it with loving kindness. Still have to tell them. But on the flip side of that, we have generational curses right up in the church. And it's trickling down to the family. I don't know why I'm dealing with the church, because the church was not my main concern. It was about the families, but God has got me on the church. We have generational curses right up in the church because we are not dealing with the people's sin. People are willfully sinning in the church and still working in the church. You still letting them praise. You still letting. Now, the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise you the Lord. I understand that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you still letting them work in the church, and you know that they got sin on them. You know that they got sin on them, and you still letting them work in the church. That's building a generational curse right there in the church. That ain't no generational blessing just because they got a talent or a gift. God has blessed them with a gift or a talent. Gifts and callings come without repentance. Just because they have a gift, the gift will make room for itself. But they gotta get right to make the gift room to make the gift right, make room for itself. They gotta get right so the gift can make room for itself. God does the shifting, so it will make room for itself. You don't do the shifting; God does. Amen. So we ask, what is a generational curse, and how do they come up on us? Now, a curse is a sworn judgment. In the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verse 11, it talks about this, and you can read that at your leisure. But in Daniel chapter 9, verse 11, it talks about this curse being a sworn judgment. Amen? And when we look at, as we look further into this, they come because of our sin and sins of our forefathers or sins of our nation or our community leaders. Nations, cities, and families are under curses because of the wicked sin. This is found in Daniel chapter 9 and Ezekiel chapter 22. Amen. A curse can exceed four generations in a family tree. The curse can be over a family and affect the children, the grandchildren, and the great-grandchildren, unless the curse is broken. Amen? The curses come because of, these are some of the sins that bring on the generational curses. Sins such as dishonoring parents, business corruption, the shedding of innocent blood, not paying your tithes and offerings, sexual perversion, and so on and so forth, etc. These are just some. Amen? And guess what? We're dealing with sexual perversion in the church. Don't nobody want to talk about it, but we are. When you have homosexuality, when you have people committing adultery right there in the church, committing fornication right there in the church, the choir director, the elder, the preacher, sleeping around with the pastor himself, sleeping around with the women in the church. Come on now. That's starting a generational curse. That's starting a generational curse right there in the church. And the families that are going to these churches, they're wondering why their houses are being messed up, because those spirits from the church are latching on to the people, and they're getting in their homes. And you're wondering why you're having problems throughout your family and your children, because those spirits are jumping off on them. Mm-mm. Come on. You wondering why your children are doing some of the stuff that they're doing. It's because the children are not being raised up the way they should be. Let's go to, because he said he'll deal with, he said in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, we read that. He said he dealt with the third and fourth generation of them that hate him. I'm going to finish out this verse in verse number 6. And showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now, watch this. Let's go to Psalms. Let's go to the book of Psalms. Psalms 45. Go to Psalms 45, verses 1 through 6. There's a reason why the Lord is taking us to the book of Psalms. I want you to see this. I want you to see what God is saying in this verse, in these verses. Amen. This is why we need to, this is what we need to do in front of our children. This is why I said your family is on the line when it comes to generational blessings and generational curses. Your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your family is on the line. Now, you can't do anything about the past. There's one thing about this. The things that you're, the only thing you can't, now, you can do something about the past, but you can't do anything to change what that person has done in the past. Can't go back. And especially if you weren't born. You don't know nothing about it. But what you can do is you can pray, you can fast, that the future of the generations of your families and of the church gets better. Amen? You can do that. And that generational curse that has been brought down to you, you can get rid of it for future generations of your family and of the church. That's the only thing you can do. Amen? Because you can't go back and tell your forefathers of the past, why did you do this? Because, you know, we can't do that. Amen? But what we can do is do this. We can. In Psalms 145, verses 1 through 6, it says, I will exalt thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation, this is the verse I want us to see right here. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I want to stop at verse number 4 real quick. This is what we need to do with our children. We need to give them something. We need to give them something. We need to give them a foundation to stand on. Why? Because the Bible says, just like Jesus told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not, what, prevail against it. We need to set a foundation for the next generation. What did we get from our past? And I'm talking about the old school church. What did we get from the old school church that we can use today? We got the altar. Uh-huh. We got prayer and supplication. We got fasting. We got the word of God. They gave it. The old saying, and I hear some of these, some people say, well, mama didn't have much, but she taught me how to pray. Mama didn't have millions upon millions of dollars. Daddy didn't have a big-time CEO corporate job and passed me down a corporate business that I inherited. But such as he had, he gave unto me. He gave me Jesus. He gave me Jesus. Amen. The Bible says, such as I have, I give unto thee. Amen. The disciples and the apostles gave us the word of God. Amen. John, when John wrote, he knew that God was going to give us this word of God. He was writing what the Lord told him to write. Amen. He gave us. What did he give us? He gave us the word of God. He gave us, he showed us what to do in times of trouble, in times where we don't know what else to do, in times we don't know where else to turn. But God gave us a blueprint on what to do, on how to deal with stuff. So it won't turn into a generational curse, but it will be a generational blessing for our soul and our children's soul and our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and so on and so forth. So, in this, it says in verse number 5, it says, I will speak of the glory, the glorious honor of thy majestic and of thy wonderful works, and men shall speak of thy might and thy some acts, and I will declare thy greatness. Amen. We need to declare the greatness of God unto the next generation, unto your children, unto the church. Amen. It's no time to just sit there and get beat on by the enemy. Some of us have allowed the devil to beat on us, and our families are seeing it. Oh, well, I thought you were saved. I thought you were... You just letting the devil beat you around. Why? Why are you letting the devil? Why are you letting the devil beat you up? Because you know if you was out there in the world, if you saved and you knew you was out there in the world, you know you ain't gonna let nobody touch you. Oh, I'm ready to fight. Okay, fight the devil. Stop letting the devil beat you around. Stop letting problems halfway knock you down. You better plead the blood over that thing. You ain't got, I told somebody the other day, you ain't got to accept what the devil brings to you. You ain't got to accept the diagnosis that the doctor gives you. Yes, the doctors are a blessing to us because the doctors are there to tell us diagnosis. And yeah, the diagnosis might be messed up. It might be bad. You might say, well, how is that a blessing? Because it tells you where you are. It tells you what to pray for. Amen? That diagnosis wasn't there to tell you, to give you the end result. It lets you know what to pray for so you can have a new beginning. Amen? The Lord didn't allow the doctor to give you that result to allow you to lay there in the bed of depression. Oh, well, I guess I'm just going to, doctor gave you a bad report, so I guess I'm just gonna have to lay here and just die. No. My doctor told me a long time ago, I had a doctor tell my parents that I was going to die at age 1, and I'm 34 years old now. My mother and my father did not accept that. Then they tried to come back again and say, well, since he lived past age 1, he ain't going to live past 18. I made it to 18. All because of our faith. And I say our faith, my mom and daddy's faith and my faith too. I've declared the works of the Lord. Amen. I didn't accept what that was given to me. My former pastor, and y'all hear me talking about her a lot, my former pastor went to the doctor, went back and forth to the doctor, and they tried to give her cancer. And she wouldn't accept it. She would not accept it. And she told that doctor, she said, I thank you for your diagnosis because it lets me know what to pray for. But she asked that doctor before she said what she said. She said, is that what you found? And they said, yes. Yes, Miss McGordon, that's what we found. And she began to say, okay, finders keepers. Finders keepers. You found that, you keep it. It don't belong to me. You found it, you keep it. Finders keepers. You found it, you keep it. The word of God does not say I have to be sick. The word of God says, the word of God did not say that I have to be poor. And I know the Bible says the poor will have with us always. That's what the Bible says. Minister Adam, that's what the Bible says. The poor we should have with us always. But I'm going to tell you like my pastor tells us about that scripture about the great falling away. Your name was not written there. That means you do not have to be in that great falling away. You do not have to accept it. You don't have to accept that. He's talking about the, when they talk about the great falling away and the people that the poor we should have with us always, that's the ones that want to be poor. That's the ones that want to be in that great falling away. If you want to go, I said it to somebody, about a month or two ago, a couple weeks ago. I said, if people want to go to hell, that's fine with me. You can go to hell if you want to, but I'm not going. You shouldn't want to take nobody to hell with you. Well, that's my friend and that's my buddy. No, I am not your friend if you trying to take me to hell with you. No, the devil is a lie. Get away from me. Yeah, I did. I said it like that. Shut up. Don't talk. You is not about to entice me to go to hell with you. No. The devil is a lie. I'm not doing it. If you want to go the wrong way, and if you see me going the wrong way, don't you follow me. That's how good of a friend I am. That's how good of a, come on here. It's somebody that's good enough to tell you, if you see me going astray, don't you follow me. That's a friend. That's a friend. If you see me, my pastor used to say that a long time ago. She used to say that a lot. If you see me going astray, don't you follow me. And I'm saying the same thing. If you see me going astray, don't you follow me. I don't want to see my children. I don't want to see my friends. I don't even want to see my enemies. I'm not saying I do. If I want to go to hell, let me go to hell by myself. I'm not taking nobody with me. If I just get, because people have a mindset like this. They get, well, I don't care where I go. I know I'm going to hell. So why would I? No, you ain't got to accept that. Get your life together. Break the generational curse that is on your family. Break the addiction right then and there and tell that addiction the buck stops here. And start speaking the opposite of what you see. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that the power of death and life lie in the power of the what? The tongue. You want your children to be blessed and not have generational curses on them? Train them up in the way they should go. Give them something. Give them a foundation. Give them the foundation. Raise them up. Train them up in the admonition of the Lord. The Bible says so. Amen? Jesus. This was not in my notes. Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. Let's go to Deuteronomy. I believe we've already read that, but let's go to Deuteronomy chapter number 7. Chapter 7, verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse number 9. And it reads, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God." No, wait a minute. "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments. To 1,000 generations." Amen. This is what he said. This is what he said for us. That the generations, this is what he had set for generations, past and present and future. Yes and amen. Blessings. This is what he wanted for us. The ones that love him, he said he'll keep the covenant. And mercy with them that love him. What is mercy?
Mercy, mercy is something that is given by God. He said, I'll keep the covenant, the same covenant he had with Abraham. Amen? He made a covenant with Abraham. Covenant that he had with Abraham, he has with us. How do I know he has that covenant, the same covenant he has with Abraham? Because Abraham is the father of many nations. He was considered as the father of many nations. Amen? The same covenant. He kept it. He's keeping it even today, the covenant he had with Abraham. Amen? And that covenant goes on you and on your children and on your grandchildren and on your great-grandchildren. Amen? But we got to get it together. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 14. Let's go there real quick. Matthew chapter 19, verse 14. Amen. And it reads, but Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. This is what we must do to correct the problems of this generation, of the next generation, our children, our grandchildren, the church, the young people of the church. We have to give them over to God to protect the generation to, and this is a generational blessing, give them the same thing, the old landmark teaching. Give them what they gave us. My former pastor, and she was my spiritual mother. She protected me and gave me the word of God. And my parents allowed my pastor to give me the word of God. And they gave me the word of God because they brought me to church and they taught it to me outside of the church. Not just with words, but living the life. Amen? But they gave me a foundation. Take your children to church. Don't allow, look, we are living in an era now that we are letting our children choose for themselves whether they want to go to church, whether they want to serve God. Now, it is up to them if they want to serve God, because you can't force anybody to serve God. God won't allow you to do that, because God doesn't force himself upon no man. So if he's not forcing himself upon nobody, he's not going to allow you to force your children to serve him. But give them a foundation. You might say, well, you just said that you're not forcing them to serve him, so why do I got to force them to go to church? Look, give them something to think about. Give them something to think about. If you're not allowing, and go with them. Don't just send them to church and don't go with them. Go with them. You have to give them something to think about. Give them something to, okay, wait a minute. If you don't give them a foundation, they won't have nothing to even think about going to. Now, the world is giving them something. The streets are giving our young people something. Amen. The devil is sure giving them something. Amen. But he hides his stuff. He hides the true meaning of why he's giving it to them and why he's giving it to us. Our forefathers and our foremothers, some of them did not understand why. They didn't do it. Now, as a parent, you're not going to do everything right. I understand this. There's no perfect parents. I'm not a perfect parent. My wife is not a perfect parent. There's no perfect parents. We're going to make mistakes as being parents. Being spiritual parents, sometimes we make mistakes. Amen? Sometimes. But if we're walking in the knowledge of God, we'll make less mistakes. Amen? Spiritual parents, natural parents, it don't matter. If you're walking in the knowledge of God, you'll make less mistakes. Amen? Let's go to Proverbs. Yeah, we flowing with the flow of the Spirit right now. Hallelujah. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. And you might say, well, I know where you're going with this, Minister Tuggle. I know where you're going. Well, all right, you know where I'm going then. Amen. Some of y'all might know where I'm going with this. Amen. And I thank you. I thank you for knowing. Amen. Amen. Let me get to it. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 6. Amen. And it reads, train up a child in the way they should go. And when they in it, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. What does this mean? Give them the foundation. Give them a foundation. Take your children to church. Take them. And yeah, it might seem they might seem like they're bored. They might sleep in church, but guess what? Their spiritual psyche is still getting it even though they sleep. How, you might say, well my children are gonna act rowdy and stuff. Well, let them continue to go. And then eventually they will start understanding that it worked with me. It worked with my brother. It worked with my brothers and my sisters. You might say, well, that was you. That was then. This is now. We got a new generation of children. Ain't nothing new up under the sun. Ain't nothing new up under the sun. The same thing that worked for us will work for them as long as you keep them going. Now, when they get older, and this is the reason why we need to keep our children in church, because there are different, it's the same devil. It's the same devil. And it's the same old attack, just different ways of doing it. He just has different ways of doing it. Now he got social media. He's got the internet. He's got games. He's got all of this stuff to get our young people's minds. We're living in a digital age. It's very easy to get stuff popped up. You can Google stuff and it pop up. But we got to keep up with it's just like keeping up with the times. We got to keep up with the times of God. God, this ain't nothing new to God. Because God knew it even before it came into fruition. God knew about the internet before the internet got here. He knew about social media. He knew about Facebook. He knew about, you might say, well, he knew about that. Yes, because he was the beginning. But it was the old landmark teaching. Teach them how to pray. Teach them how to fast. Teach them the word of God. I know my Sunday school class, I teach children at my church, all different age groups. And I told one of my Sunday school students, I said, I've told all of my Sunday school students, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Study. Study like you study that school book. Because it's going to help you in the long run. And I told the parents, work with your children. And one of my Sunday school students came to me. I said, if you can learn this, I'll give you something. It's all right. It's all right if you want to give them a, candy or, money or whatever, just to give them a little nudge to want to learn, just like they do in school. They give them prizes or whatever. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. The Lord is not going to hold you accountable for that. It's okay. I told my children, go to church. Go to church to receive something from God. Go to church to receive something from Him, because there's always something there waiting for you. It may not always be materialistic, always something waiting there for you. And if we're in the house of God, that's why we need to clean up the house of God. We need to clean up the house of God, and that right early, so that the generational curses can be blotted out and generational blessings can start again. Amen. How does generational curses become broken? In the book of Daniel, chapter 9, it talks about this. In Daniel chapter 6, verse number 4, it talks about it. We as people of God must pray, fast, repent, and acknowledge for the sins of our forefathers, and ask for forgiveness, and walk in the ways of God. This is in Daniel chapter 6, verse number 4. These things, if we do this, we are now on the road to starting a new path of generational blessing. If we do this, if we pray, we fast, repent, and acknowledge the sins of our forefathers and foremothers and ask for forgiveness. Now, you don't have to know what it is, but if it's an addiction in the family, pray over it, fast over it, and ask that addiction to be gone away from your family lineage. Amen? That's the way the curse gets broken. Amen? That's what we do. We got to deal with it. We got to deal with it. And to show you I said this earlier, and I didn't give any scripture on it, but I want to give scripture on it because I like to give scripture on what I'm talking about, because we need Bible to back up what we're talking about. Amen? I read the curse comes from a variety of sins, such as dishonoring parents, business corruption, the shedding of innocent blood, not paying your tithes and offerings, sexual perversion. This is found in Deuteronomy chapter 27. Amen. So you should go back and read that. Amen. But these are the things that we must do in Daniel chapter 9 and in Daniel chapter 6, verse 4, to get rid of the curse, to get rid of the generational curses in our lives, and to get rid of the generational curses in the church. Amen. Now, before I leave you, I'm not just going to leave you on how to stop a generational curse, but I'm going to show you how to do a generational blessing. What is a generational blessing? I'm going to read this real quick. A generational blessing, this is a term that is defined a certain kind of blessing, one which flows from one generation to the next. In Psalms 145, verse number 4, talks about this. You can read that at your leisure. That's Psalms 145, verse number 4. How does a person tap into generational blessings? This is how we do it. If you come from a family who loves and honors the Lord, you have repeated a generational blessing, generational blessings, whether you realize it or not. If you didn't, there's no better time to let the blessings begin with you. It all begins with choices. And in Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 7, it shows us how to start generational blessings, whether you have been in church your whole life or not. And then in Genesis chapter number 22, verses 15 through 18. Amen. And you can read those at your leisure. But this is how we start generational blessings. Amen. I want you to go back and read these scriptures to start your generational blessings, whether you have been born and raised in the church or whether you haven't. It starts with you, and it all starts with choices. That's all generational blessings and generational curses are. That's how they start. That's how generational blessings and generational curses start. It all starts with a choice, whether you believe it or not. The generational curses start with you making the choice whether to believe what you heard, whether to believe what you're doing or not. Generational blessings start that way, believing in God's word and speaking the opposite of what you see. Amen. I pray that this topic has blessed you in Jesus' name. I pray that you will live out your true potential in your family generation. And if you have not started, if a generational curse is on your family or in your church, I dare you to deal with it today. We've given scripture on how to deal with it. Deal with it. You can deal with it today, and you can deal with it yourself, and you can, that addiction, that curse, that generational curse can stop with you. Like I said, it's all about choice. It's all about the choice if you want to step out there and fight that battle for your family. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I love you. In Jesus' name. And remember, your generational blessing can start with you. It's all about the choice that you make. It's all about going to God and starting over for your family and your church. In Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. In Jesus' name. This is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. I love each and every one of you in Jesus' name. God bless you. God bless you, Bishop Cook. Thank you for allowing us to come once again in Jesus' name on this beautiful Saturday afternoon or this beautiful Saturday morning, wherever you're listening to me at. We are being broadcast around the world in Jesus' name. I got 2 minutes, y'all. God, continue to pray, continue to fast, and continue to stay in the word of God in Jesus' name. As it states in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace one day. This is the only way to see the place called heaven. In Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. And as my grandmother used to say, if you don't see me again, and since we're on the radio, I'm going to reword it a little bit. If you don't hear my voice again, you will be able to hear me and see me in the rapture of the church. God bless you. I love you. Have a great, great weekend. Go to church this Sunday and give God praise on today. Hallelujah. Give him praise on today and give him praise on tomorrow and continue to have a very blessed weekend. And have a blessed week in Jesus' name. And until next Saturday, God bless you, God bless you, and God bless you in Jesus' name. This is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. And until next time, Jesus, just know that Jesus is Lord in Jesus' name. God bless you.